following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Green 19 Packers podcast from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, JSOnline.com, PackersNews.com. I am Jim Ozarski, along with co-host Tom Silverstein. And Tom, Packers win 35-20 over the Houston Texans. Fourth time in four tries, the Packers have won following a loss in the regular season with Matt LaFleur, which I think we saw that coming largely because Houston, I'll say it, they suck. But I would say what was probably impressive, most impressive, Tom, was how the Packers did this with so many key players either injured and out before the game or even defensively losing a couple guys during the game. So let's just start there. No Aaron Jones. Ryan Wood said that on Saturday night, that the expectation, the plan was to not play Aaron Jones. That was the case. No David Bakhtiari. And they flipped some tackles. Tom, Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon played together, and 35 points, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I think they've played this pretty smartly in terms of the injury situation. I'll bet you they could have played Aaron Jones if they really needed him. But just like with Davante Adams and Kenny Clark, they kind of recognized who their competition was, what was ahead of them on the schedule. And, you know, it behooves them to have a healthier team because every team is losing people. And the fewest, you know, this is going to be a season of attrition more so than it normally is, you know, either because of COVID or because of no training camp and guys are getting injured. So I sort of think they're doing the right thing. It might not seem like it to fans, but if they avoided a longer-term injury with Aaron Jones and with Davante Adams, and clearly Davante Adams is back, and it's, you know, maybe with Tyler Irvin, it's the same thing. They just have to make sure they're healthy when they get down the stretch.
And before we get into the sexy skill position players, my co-players of the game in the Insider, Tom, were Billy Turner and Rick Wagner. As you opined on Thursday, Billy Turner flipping over to left tackle, Rick Wagner playing right tackle. That is what they did. And while Houston is not good, they do have J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus and can get some push. Mercilus had a sack that was wiped out due to a penalty early. But other than that, Aaron Rodgers was totally clean. And let me go there with Turner and Wagner really filling in a tough spot.
Yeah, so last week Rodgers was sacked 4 times and he was knocked down 8 times. And in this game, he was not sacked and he was knocked down once. So, yeah, that makes a little bit of a difference. And I think you really have to hats off to Wagner because he's basically played like a pro, which I guess he is. He's had to fill in certain situations, and he had to go against J.J. Watt the whole game. J.J. Watt doesn't line up on the over the left tackle, and the Packers knew that, but they still put him there anyways. And while they did give him some help, I think, you know, there were a lot of instances where Rodgers had to wait. He had to throw down the field a little bit, and I think Wagner held in there. So, boy, if you have an extra tackle, a third tackle, man, you are that is a luxury in the NFL. And having Billy Turner be able to go to a left tackle was big, because not all right tackles can play left tackle, and he did.
What, and you mentioned this again on Thursday, Tom, but what has Billy Turner shown you this year? I mean, I know we were a little, I guess, I don't want to say incredulous, but a little curious if he could handle moving to right tackle and you know, hold that position down. And again, moving to left tackle, who knows? I mean, we don't know the extent of David Bakhtiari's injury. We may see this sort of tackle combo for another week, and then if
or more
with the short week after that. So what have you seen from a guy who, you know, we know played on a high ankle sprain through the end of last year at right guard?
Well, I sort of felt like at the end of last year, his pass blocking from the right guard position was not good. He, for whatever reason, he just did not play very well as a pass blocker. He's a good run blocker. But I think the Packers saw this as well, that, and it's the reason why they had him work both spots during the offseason, was that he might have more potential as a tackle. And I think we found that to be true, that he's such a big guy and he's got a big wingspan and he's got good enough feet that I just think the tackle position where he can use space a little bit is better for him. And I think that's turning out to be the case.
Yeah. And that's that is a luxury for sure. If they can have Rick Wagner be healthy and allow David Bakhtiari to get healthy as we go forward here. Now, you mentioned the pass blocking. I think, Tom, for as good as Aaron Rodgers' numbers were, again, I think it's just another example of how important the run game, the play action, and the boot game are to him now. So rather than focus first on the air attack, if you will, I think it all started with Jamal Williams being a very effective 4.1 yards per rush, 77 yards on 19 carries and a touchdown late. That, you know, AJ Dillon, 2.2 yards per carry, but you know, he essentially his 5 for 11 is kind of what, you know, sometimes Jamal Williams does. Look, Jamal Williams, we know him, Tom. This is 4 years in that. I don't think his totals are a surprise, but how important was it that they stuck with the run and it was this effective considering what happened last week where it totally, you know, blew apart the offense, frankly, the fact they couldn't run the ball last week?
Yeah, I think they at least showed a willingness to run the ball in the early going. And then they did get some nice play action stuff going. And then I think they found out that they could do whatever they wanted with Davante Adams, and then it didn't matter. You know, it was like the beginning, they needed to feel out Houston and see if they were going to blitz a lot. Bradley Roby was starting at corner against Adams, and he goes out in the first series with a knee injury. But they stuck with the running game. I mean, they ran 27 times, I think. And that's good. That's really good. That's almost as much as they passed it. But then they finally figured out that they could do whatever they wanted with Adams. And they just stuck it to Houston after that, who for some reason that's way beyond me, did not double cover Adams on every single play. You know, I just don't get that at all.
You had asked Devontae that question. He kind of laughed, Tom, and he's like, I didn't want to speak that into existence, that safety over adding some.
He didn't want it in the universe, you know, like even the thought in the universe, because he was having such a good time beating these guys like a drum.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit, Tom, of Detroit. You know, when Patricia gets so kind of hell-bent on running that man, come hell or high water, personnel or otherwise, you know what I mean? Like it was just, it, and I don't know who there's, I think there's only a handful of corners that you can leave out there on Davante Adams by himself anyway. And clearly Houston had none of those guys, but yet didn't want to react to it or force Matt LaFleur's hands. If anything, Tom, you would have thought last week showed that if you make the Packers have to adjust, I don't know, they didn't present anything defensively, which maybe shouldn't be a shock. They weren't very good coming in.
Yeah, I mean, they had the worst defense in the NFL, I think we can safely say. And, they tried to play a plan a little bit similar to what Tampa Bay did, but they don't have that kind of talent. And so, you know, if you're going to play man coverage and, you know, blitz a sixth guy or a fifth guy, then you better get to Rodgers. That's what Tampa Bay decided. They couldn't cover Davante Adams, so they'll go after Rodgers. And I think that was the right move because they had the personnel to do it. If the Packers ever face them again, they have to figure out how can they get the ball to Davante Adams. I suspect if they could have had any kind of protection or run the ball in that game, they would have eventually gotten it to him. So, but that's, you know, that game's behind them. And anytime, you know, they play Minnesota next, and Adams set his career high with 14 receptions in game one and playing against those young corners. So he's probably licking his chops again. The guy could end up having, you know, 26 catches in two games. He's, I think I added a two together, and what was it? He's like 27 of 32 targets, or he's caught 27 of the 32 targets in those two games for, you know, 300 and whatever yards. Is pretty impressive.
Got to try to make up for missing a couple games and a half there, Tom.
Yeah, that's right.
So what is, before we flip over, and look, Rodgers was, you know, 67% completion percentage, you know, 8.3 yards per attempt, four touchdowns, no picks. He bounced back. But what is, I guess, bigger picture, Tom? What does, man, on the stats, it's going to look weird and not like a lot, but you know how this offense works now. Malik Taylor catches a little touchdown pass out in the flat. Jay Sternberger, you know, it's a red zone, you know, kind of play action. They ran one play and ran it. They did the same exact thing next. He's wide open. And the reason I bring it up and I ask what those quote unquote little plays mean, because I don't know, it feels like those little things seem to matter, because maybe Davante Adams tweaks that hamstring or that toe again later, or maybe Tanyan can't go as much with this ankle and Sternberg. I don't know. I just feel like these little things for these guys who are kind of role players matters, because, you know, maybe in week 11, Malik Taylor catches five balls for 80 yards. I don't know. Like I feel like it was important, I guess, for guys like that to actually produce in a game, even if it was only for one in a short red zone window.
Yeah. I mean, it's important for them to gain a little bit of confidence. You would have thought that this would have been a good game for Valdez-Scantling to pick up some confidence, but he was nowhere to be found. I think four targets, no catches. But yeah, Sternberger, Tanyan, Malik Taylor, I know they have to hold down the fort until Lazard comes back. And even then, you know, I think Gutekunst has got to think about adding a wide receiver before the season ends, or before the trade deadline. They're, at some point, you know, when they're playing their best, they're spreading the ball around. And so, yeah, those guys do need to make some kind of contribution.
And I think it's one of those, Tom, where it's that stat we all like to use. So is it 1, 2, 3, 6 different receivers catch a pass, 8 different receivers were targeted. Even if Davante Adams is 90% of that number, it still matters to a degree, right? To make that stuff work.
You have to remember that Aaron Jones wasn't there either. He would have gotten a number of passes too. I don't know that it would have taken away from Davante Adams, but it might have added, they might have had some purpose passes that acted as runs. So anyway, it's good to spread it around. I think it's probably better to get it into Davante Adams' hands.
That's true. I'm not going to sit here and say Malik Taylor needs to be featured anytime soon. But I guess the way this team has been dealing with injuries, how we started this pod, Tom, these guys have been getting hurt, you know, and their number two receiver, if you want to call him that, has been hurt. So again, to have extra options going forward, it will be a big deal, especially on a short week, you know, and they got two games coming up here soon. But before we flip to the defense, what's the one kind of black mark, I guess, on this game, Tom, was for the first time, Sean Menenga's group kind of had some breakdowns. Dexter Williams, a practice squad call-up this week with Aaron Jones being down. He was J.K. Scott's, I guess, personal protector. He kind of whiffed on his block, led to a block punt. And then an onside kick. This is the third that the Packers have attempted, and rather than kick it to Davante Adams, they kicked it right up the field, and Adrian Amos and Channon Sullivan did not get their hands on it. Darius Shepherd, non-factor in the return game. Scott had a good day, but those plays didn't matter in the end, Tom. The defense came up with big plays, which we'll get to later, but Tyler Irvin's been out. I don't know. What did you make of, is that just kind of the way the ball bounces on the turf, or what did you make of that actually happening on Sunday?
Well, the block punt, I think, was pretty much on Dexter Williams. It just was a terrible block. I don't think it was anything that that Houston did unusually. It was a one-on-one block, and he just didn't finish it. But the onside kick, that was a weakness. They figured it out. And so I think it's something they can clean up, but it was a mark against them. They haven't done really anything special, although J.K. Scott had a really good day and they covered his punts pretty well. I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of an onside kick, but they got to figure out whether that's a weakness in their recovery team.
Right. Especially when you have to, you know, stretch your hands teams across the field, right, Tom? Typically the receivers, the backs are over on the wings, right? And that middle of the field is a different, I don't know.
Yeah. The next time that happens, you drill the kicker, you know, you don't let him, the whole idea is for him to run up and catch the ball. Well, one of those two guys needs to knock him backwards, you know, so that the other guy can recover the ball. Don't let that kicker. I mean, I don't think the kicker recovered it. I'm not sure who did.
No, it I actually thought Fairbairn kicked it twice. Like, it looked like he almost got it and saw Adrian Amos and just didn't want to participate. But that sort of his presence there, Tom, getting down the field almost 10 yards, opened up the window for Michael Thomas. He's the one who blocked whoever it was for Houston, you're right, land on it.
Yeah, I mean, you want to just create a big old pile there, or you want to at least get in the way. And so someone needed to take out the kicker, and that didn't get done.
And I know it's, you know, maybe you're listening to this, say, oh, what does it matter? I mean, again, this is the third onside kick that has been attempted against the Packers through five games. So, I mean, it's worth talking about, and it's one of those things where they did not recover this one, but clearly it's, you know, game situations and maybe coordinators going forward. Look, if this team's going to beat the Tampas or the San Franciscos or whatever it may be and not lose by 30, they're going to have to be solid in special teams. So, finally, let's flip it over to defense, Tom. I thought Houston was going to be good for three touchdowns. They got a garbage one late. But what I want to say is I think this was the most complete effort by the defense. And what I mean by that is they actually made some third down sacks or third down stops, tackle for loss. They did pressure Deshaun Watson, 3 sacks, 4 quarterback hits. They did not allow an explosive play. And perhaps more importantly, Tom, 2 red zone chances that they stymied when the offense was punting and blocked punts. Houston got 2 field goals after being inside the 10. They haven't done that all year. And say what we want about Houston's offense, they've got playmakers. And I thought for the first time, this kind of resembled the 2019 Mike Pettine defense than what we had seen the previous 5 weeks.
Yeah, I think what was most noticeable to me was I think they were a little more simplified. You know, you didn't see Za'Darius Smith in the middle all that much, you know, playing that over the nose thing. They let Preston Smith rush instead of dropping back every, you know, all the time. They let those guys do what they do best. And if Za'Darius Smith hadn't re-hurt his ankle, I think he was on his way to a couple sack game. And Preston Smith started to show a little bit and had a really nice play on that option where he played the quarterback and snuffed him out on fourth down. I think that's what they got to do. And what they did was maybe played a little bit more zone and just let everyone rally to the ball. That seemed to help too. And then, you know, Alexander and I think Chandon Sullivan were just absolute lockdowns. And even Josh Jackson, I don't recall him getting smoked too much. I think the corners did pretty well.
Yeah, the only they picked on Raven Green. Yeah. That was the only guy that they really went after, and it worked, you know. But then again, Raven Green trying to cover Will Fuller or Randall Cobb one-on-one is not – I mean, that's not a strength matchup for the Packers anyway.
No, and it wasn't – they weren't killer passes down the field. They were kind of stuff that you're going to give up, but you'd rather give up than hitting Will Fuller down the sideline. I don't think Raven Green played that bad. I think he actually played pretty well. He made some nice tackles. He had a couple plays he could have made better, but I thought for the most part, the secondary played much better. And I think they found that at the end there that Kamal Martin, if they can keep him healthy, can be a factor because he's the most physical inside guy they have by a long shot.
Interesting, because that's even with
watching them.
Yeah, that's even with Chris Barnes with a sack, a tackle for loss, although he's been dealing with the shoulder for a couple weeks and did not finish the game with injury. So who knows, Tom, maybe if Barnes can keep playing through it, I guess they've got a couple rookie inside linebackers that might make Christian Kirksey a luxury when and if he returns from a pec injury.
Yeah, I think that Kamal Martin probably earned himself the starting job. I mean, I know Chris Barnes has played really well, but Kamal Martin's going to be on the field next week. You can bet on that.
Yeah, and the secondary, Tom, and yeah, I'm not necessarily picking on Raven Green, I think, but that was the point of that is, yes, the secondary played well, and that's a matchup problem at times. And you're right. I mean, he almost had an interception on a well covered route. Now you mentioned we opened this with injuries on offense, Tom, and you mentioned Za'Darius Smith with an ankle, where Rashawn Gary tweaked an ankle and really kind of a busted play. It was a free play that Deshaun Watson took a sack on, which I was dumb on his part. And Rashawn Gary limped off. He came back, but as a reminder for folks, he did miss a game with an ankle, has been dealing with it. Raven Green didn't finish the game. We mentioned Chris Barnes. So we saw Vernon Scott make a tackle in the flat in the red zone.
Yep.
And then rookie call up Henry Black. Henry Black is, forced the fumble. This team hasn't had any turnovers, and he gets the ball right back for them. Literally hat on a ball.
What a great thing for him. What was that? Maybe his third play of the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
With that, and he causes a fumble. And the Packers have gone through how many games with three turnovers? And he comes in on his first couple plays and causes one?
Yeah, it's which again makes for a feel good. As Aaron Rodgers said post-game, Tom, it was the training camp bingo card of you know, all these guys making plays. But we'll find out here in the near future where all the injuries are and the status of these guys and what it is. Not ideal to have, you know, like a Za'Darius Smith or Rashawn Gary dinged up. Maybe Savage Jr. and Kevin King will be back from Minnesota. But what did – just overall thoughts though, Tom? I mean, again, Houston's not good, but they did put it on them, 35-20. And you know, that last touchdown kind of garbage time. So just your thoughts on the Packers coming back off that bad loss in Tampa despite all of the injuries and things like that.
Well, they did everything they needed to do. And they did on the road. And now they get another lousy team next week in the Vikings. And then they find out how far they've come when they play the 49ers, who are putting a thumping on the Patriots today. I think the 49ers are coming back. They're starting to get everything together. And they may not be the team they were exactly supposed to be, but Kyle Shanahan will have that offense going one way or another. And the Packers are going to have to defend it. And so I think that's their next big game. They can't take the Vikings lightly, but let's face it, that's a bad team too. So get a chance to get well, and then you're measured by your best opponents. And that's who they need to be measured by.
Yeah, it'll be – yeah, not to overlook the great Kirk Cousins. Excuse me. sorry, couldn't even get that out. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings at finally a home game at Lambeau Field. San Francisco is at Seattle next weekend. So while they get the benefit of home field advantage on the short week, Tom, they still will be traveling and playing. 49ers, Seattle game, Seahawks games these last couple years have been super physical and really taxing on both of those squads. So
yeah.
If you're the Packers, I think you want to do what you need to do early against the Vikings, get it done and not stress too much about it. And maybe Tim Boyle can throw some passes late if you're them. I think the Vikings are, we'll preview that game on Thursday, Tom, but you're right. I think the Packers have, you know, they've only got a couple circle the dates left. I mean, the way the schedule's flushed out, it's not their fault, but you're right. That next one in San Francisco, regardless of what happens this weekend, is kind of the next one. So So we will catch you on Thursday to talk about Kirk Cousins, the Vikings. Maybe we'll talk a little trade deadline. That'll be coming up November 3rd. So we'll be a week out at that point. We will see what Brian Gutekunst is thinking, what they need, if anything. Maybe something will happen in the next couple of days. We don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of the we may see a lot of action coming up this week because of that six-day acclimation period with COVID, that teams might just want to get the trades done this week, knowing that they don't want to lose another week if they're going to go and get somebody. So we might see some action actually this week.
Yeah, it's a good point, Tom. Well, you know, as a reminder for folks too, the Packers will be making roster moves potentially as early as when they get back tonight or formally tomorrow. James Burgess, as you report, eligible to come off of the commissioner exempt list Monday, which means, you know, a guy like Ben Braden, you know, might have to get cut and re-signed again to the practice squad, that type of deal to make room for the new inside linebacker. But yeah, we will be back. So of course, download or subscribe to jsonline.com/deals over at packersnews.com. Download the app, turn on the notifications because you're going to want to get all of the latest information, whether it be trades, roster moves, all of these great things from Tom, myself, Pete Doherty, Ryan Wood, or Olivia Reiner. You want to be able to access that whenever and wherever you want. We will be back with you on the next Green 19 podcast Thursday. So for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you then.